This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I am your host, Art Wiederman. Welcome to my podcast. Welcome to a summer of 2024. Now, I'm recording this podcast on, in the first week of August. It's actually August 9th. And it's funny, it's a very special week for me because next Wednesday, if I choose, I can apply for Medicare. I turn 65. And it's funny, when I woke up on the day of my 40th birthday, I was reminding my wife that I remember this like it was yesterday. I got out of bed and I felt a little tweak in my hip. So we'll see what happens next Wednesday when I wake up and get out of bed. But I am very, very blessed to have made it this long and to be able to talk to you guys. And as I've told you on this podcast, on this journey, you know, my objective is to keep relevant and bring relevant topics to you. And as we've talked about, probably the biggest issue that we have in dentistry today is finding and retaining good team members. And I have wanted to bring Holly Perez from Direct Dental back onto my podcast. She was on, oh my gosh, a year and a half ago, something like that. And I met Holly through one of our local dental societies, and she's just golden. Holly helps doctors, helps them with their ads and help them find good team members, but she does a lot more than that. So we're going to talk today about dental staffing and finding and retaining team members. It's interesting. One third of dentists are now hiring employees at any time because there's turnover and we have people that are leaving the profession. According to the Institute of the American Dental Association that Marko Vučetić so eloquently speaks about and speaks for all the time, 89% of dentists say it's very difficult to find hygienists and 75% say it's difficult to find dental assistants. So we're going to talk to Holly today about what's the best way to find people? How do you find them? How do you write an ad? What do you say? What happens? How do we get them to show up for an interview? I mean, I was an employer for 33 years. I had that happen once or twice where they didn't show up, but, you know, I don't know. But we're going to give you some great tips and information today. I'll get to Holly in a moment. First, I want to thank my incredible partner, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. 140 amazing continuing education courses for a very reasonable price. My three audio courses on metrics and financial planning and retirement plans are also on there for a very reasonable price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. We're in the middle of the year. I hope your CPA is planning your taxes out. We just got two new clients who literally called us up and said, wait a minute, I got this big surprise in April and it's time for me to find another CPA. If you have a really good CPA and they understand dentistry, you should stay with them. If you don't have somebody who reaches out to you and talks about what's going on in your practice and is asking you, why are your lab costs so high? Or are you getting into sleep dentistry? If you don't have that relationship with your CPA, please reach out to me, our team at Eide Bailly. I'm a dental director, dental division director at Eide Bailly. Please reach out to me, 657-279-3243 or awiederman at eidebailly.com. I want to share with you a seminar that we're doing in Denver, Colorado on October 10th and 11th, and it is called Maximizing the Value of Your Dental Practice for Growth and Exit. So, if you're considering building a new group practice or selling your existing high-value practice, you have to be thinking about, your financial statements and what they look like and your exit strategies, being aware of embezzlement and fraud awareness, and also, if you're going to have an exit strategy, you got to figure out what to do with the money. And we have one of the best wealth groups in the country. So that is October 10th and 11th. You can shoot me an email or go onto Eide Bailly's website, eidebailly.com, and register for that.
Be sure to check out our new Eide Bailly podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
All right. With that said, folks, I want to get to my guest and my friend, Holly Perez. Holly Perez is the co-founder of Direct Dental. She is based out of San Diego, California. And the more I talk to Holly, the more I realize that you've got to work with specialists, people who understand their niche in life. And Holly has, we've had conversations about how to place an ad and what the words are to put into an ad and all these things. And right now she is just helping lots and lots of doctors with this really, really difficult problem. It's not impossible, but you got to put some work into that. Right, Holly?
Absolutely. Yes.
Welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
How's life in San Diego for you these days?
It's hot.
Well, I was just in Las Vegas visiting my brother and it was 110 degrees and I felt like I was going into the sauna at 24 Hour Fitness. So, we're lucky to live where we live, aren't we?
I shouldn't complain, but yes, it's hot for San Diego. We're always complaining down here in Southern California.
So Holly, tell me a little bit about your professional journey and how you got to go into your business before we get into our discussion.
Yes, I started in dentistry in 2012 as a kind of a treatment coordinator position with a large DSO that specialized in all-on-4 implant placements. And really fell in love with dentistry. I say still to this day, there's nothing better than working in a dental office. You got constant air conditioning, unlimited coffee. Your patients always have a big smile whenever they get to see you. You have a great team that you get to work with. So I just fell in love with dentistry. I started working with another DSO as a regional manager, and that's really where I started to understand the challenges in hiring good dental employees, hygienists, dental assistants, front office staff. Even back in 2014, it was a struggle to find really good people. And we know it's only continued to get worse. And in 2016, I had the opportunity to buy a contingency dental staffing agency, realized I didn't like it. Dentists didn't like having to pay a big hefty fee whenever an employee was placed in their office. So I made my husband quit his job and we created a online platform that connected dentists directly to people that are looking for temporary and permanent placement in their practice.
Well, and that is a big deal these days. So let's start talking about, the number one challenge in dentistry we know is finding and retaining team members. What does the market look like heading towards the end of 2024?
Well, as you mentioned, it continues to be extremely challenging to find hygienists, dental assistants, front office staff, dentists, and that's not going to go away anytime soon. Unfortunately, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they say that the dental field is growing 7% faster than all other occupations. So that just going to mean that there's going to continue to be more jobs available than there are employees who fill those roles. And that's going to be up until about 2032 that they're predicting this.
All right. So we have a doctor. They're having these challenges. I hear this all the time. I can't find people. They want more money. They want more benefits. They're prima donna. I mean, we hear all that, right? Okay. So let's start off at the beginning. I need to find somebody. I need to find a hygienist. I need to find an assistant. I need to find a treatment coordinator. What are the best outlets to post job opportunities?
So Indeed continues to be where most applicants are looking for a job. So Indeed continues to be a great place to find applicants. However, we find that dentists are struggling to post their jobs. It's become kind of cumbersome, very expensive to post on Indeed. It's the same applicants from Indeed over and over and over again. So the dentists that are having the most success in finding candidates are the ones that are utilizing a service that not only gets their job on Indeed, but then other job boards. So ZipRecruiter or Google Jobs has become a very wonderful place to find applicants. Even smaller job boards like Snagajob. So working with a company that's going to distribute your job out to all of these major platforms for you is a really great place to start. But then you should be looking at other avenues as well. So social media, going into LinkedIn and messaging hygienists in your market saying, hey, I have this job. Are you interested? Or going into the local Facebook groups in your area and posting your job. Reaching out to the local schools is a phenomenal way to get applicants into your office as well. And then talking to your study clubs, your local dental societies, anybody you've worked with in the past, reaching out to previous and current employees. Do you know anybody? Really, finding applicants is such a challenge that casting the widest net that you can, leaving absolutely no stone unturned, is really what you need to do in this market to get someone phenomenal in your office fast.
I mean, some of the best employees that came to work for me after 33 years of practice were people referred by the people who work in my office because they know what the office is. They know what we're looking for. They're certainly not going to refer somebody who, to use a technical term, Holly, is a Twinkie. They're going to refer somebody. I mean, before I stopped eating sugar, I love Twinkies. I just use that term. And you know, let's talk for a second about hiring people outside of dentistry. I've always said, I mean, even before I met you, we've known each other 4 or 5 years now. And before I met you, I would tell people, in my opinion, that a great place to find employees are either somebody who's worked in a bank or somebody who's worked as a server in a restaurant. Because if you work in a bank, you know how to handle money and you're dealing with lots of customers. If you work in a restaurant and you're a server, servers want tips. So they're generally going to be nice. They're generally going to be friendly. They're generally going to be engaging. But what is your opinion about just hiring somebody who's never worked in a dental office before?
I love it. Some of my best placements have come from somebody that worked in a restaurant or worked retail shops. It can be challenging in dentistry, especially for hygienists and dental assistants, because most states require licenses in those. But if you have the space to bring on a sterilization tech or a front office person, they will end up being probably some of the best employees ever, especially if you feel like I'm keep getting the same candidates over and over and over again. Open it up to say, we're willing to train someone. And then train them right, though. You know, utilize a consultant. You and I were talking about consultants a minute ago. Utilize a consultant or an online training platform to really get them up to speed properly. And then I promise you, you will probably have one of the best, most loyal employees imaginable.
I'll tell you, Holly, and to my audience too, that one of the biggest complaints I get when I talk to dental employees at dental meetings and when I'm lecturing is that their doctors do not have a good training program when they onboard, a good onboarding program. That is so, so important. Do you get involved with that with your clients, or do you have people you refer that to, or how do you get involved in that?
I'll offer coaching on setting up a good onboarding program, but I definitely have, you know, consultants or HR services that I'll refer to really make sure that these offices set a good onboarding program in place. And that really helps with retention. I can't remember the exact statistics off my head. I think it was something like 70% of, if you have a strong onboarding process, about 70% of your employees will stay with you for over 5 years, as opposed to if you don't. That's not the exact statistic, but it's very close to that from what I remember about it. So it takes work, but it's absolutely worth it in the long run, so that you're not continuously having to call me to say, hey, we have to hire again because I lost another employee. We want people that we place in your office to stay a very long time. And the best way to do that is to have a solid onboarding plan.
Okay, that's great advice. What do we put in the ad? How do we shape this ad?
Yeah, so when you are looking to hire, the two big things that I always want my clients to remember is ad is short for advertisement. We are advertising to these candidates to get them to want to apply to your job. Done are the days of listing out duties and posting the job. That just doesn't work anymore. The other thing they have to remember is they're no longer just competing with the dental office up the street. They are competing with DoorDash, Uber, all the retail stores in their area. There are so many jobs available now to people that used to be in the dental field that might not want to be there anymore. So really having verbiage on your ad that's selling how great dentistry is and how great your practice is really key. So I always like to have my advertisements. Oh, and the third thing that you have to remember actually is that people don't read the entire ad. So the very first two sentences have to be big and bold and really what is the best thing about your practice. So I always like to put full-time dental assistant, $20 to $25 an hour. Here, list out all of the benefits right there and then get into what's great about the practice, why we're looking for someone. You want to list the hours, obviously, so you're not wasting your time talking to people that can't work the hours. List out as many benefits as possible. Get creative. If you buy your team lunch once a month, list free lunches in the benefits. You offer a free lunch once a month. So list that as a benefit. I had a client that included a large and functional break room with unlimited yummy snacks. Her hygiene ad ended up getting like 5 applicants in the first week, which is phenomenal for hygiene. Just really great benefits are going to bring in candidates, even if they're not your traditional benefits. And then you do want to list the duties. The reason for that is the job boards will match up your list of duties to what's on the applicant's resumes. And so they know exactly who to advertise your job to get the best matches for the applicants. And lastly, finish off with a great call to action, something simple like, we can't wait to meet you, apply today. That is really the key to a great ad. And you can reach out to me. I have tons of templates that I can assist people with in order to help them find a great ad.
So you mentioned one thing of yummy snacks brought in 5 applicants to one of your clients. What is it? You talk to applicants all the time, right? What are they looking for? What are the top couple of things that we can tell our listeners that applicants are looking for that are going to make them want to go to work at XYZ Dental?
Yes, it's different for each position. And a lot of research went into this. So, you know, I talk to applicants every single day. I also read articles. Sometimes when you talk to them, you don't always get the full truth. So I like to read articles and surveys as well. So for hygienists, for example, they want to have flexibility in their schedule. I tell most of my clients, it is nearly impossible to find a full-time hygienist nowadays. Most are 2 to 3 days max. So listing out that you can be flexible with their schedule is probably the number one thing that hygienists are looking for in their advertisements. We know hygienists, they want to feel valued and respected. They want systems and technology in place that's going to help avoid burnout. We know hygiene is very labor intensive. Ergonomic chairs I've seen on ad posts that have done really well. And they want to just know that they work in a work environment where they're going to be a valued provider within the practice. Assistants, they're looking for great pay, benefits, recognition, opportunity for upward mobility. And then we find that doctors, they really want that clinical autonomy. A daily guarantee always has a huge effect on getting applicants. And they want to have a skilled and trained team that will be working for them. If you're writing up an ad, you definitely want to mention those on those ads.
Yeah. And one of the things too, I think, and we're going to get into what happens if we get the applicant into the office, is that the team's got to believe in the doctor, and the doctor's got to have that doctor's just got to have a philosophy. And I don't know if we put this in the ad, is that, doctor is patient centric, or the doctor is, about total health. And do you ever put that kind of stuff in an ad?
Absolutely. Yes. So the philosophy should absolutely go in there. Patient centric is wonderful. I love mentioning if you have generations of families that come to the practice, that's always has a huge impact. Long-term employees. So if most of your employees have been with you 5+ years, put that in there. But yes, anything that talks about how great the doctor is and how wonderful he takes care of his team and patients absolutely needs to be put into the advertisement.
Yeah, well, again, these are great points. How long is this ad going to be? Is it 100 words, 200 words? What are we looking?
So 150 to 200 words seems to be what the job boards really love. A thing that you got to know too is if the job boards like your ad, they're going to show it to more people. So we see that the jobs that hover around 150, they tend to stay on the front page of the job ad boards because that seems to be the magic number that they really like.
So it's almost like, when you post on Google when you have a website and on Google, you have to know the algorithm. It sounds like you almost kind of have to know the algorithm of Indeed and Career Builders and those types, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Search optimization is huge for marketing. It is almost identical when it comes to posting on the job boards. So having keywords for your job that match with the job boards know and like, that match up with what the applicants are looking for, it's going to just make sure that the job boards say, this hygienist has the same job description as this job post. Let's make sure that this person sees the ad. It's the same way for marketing your practice as it is for marketing your job on the job boards.
So now having somebody that you work with who knows what the Indeed and Career Builder gods have to want is really, really important. Now, this is going to sound stupid. All right. I mean, someone applies for a job and they agree to come at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. But we know that applicants not showing up is an issue. What can we do to assure that an applicant actually shows up for an interview?
It's a huge issue in the dental field. And the clients that I feel have the most success, they do two things. They have that job advertisement that they treat as an advertisement that really gets the applicant's attention and kind of sticks with the applicant. If the applicant remembers your ad, they are definitely going to want to meet with you. The other thing they do is they have the most happiest, cheerful person in their practice calling on the applicant, someone that's excellent at building rapport. Because if you have a great initial phone conversation with that applicant when you're booking the interview and they're excited and they can't wait to meet with you, they really feel connected with the person that scheduled that interview, they are very likely to show up for the interview. Another thing that I've got my clients doing, and some of them don't like it, but it really helps, is just sending a text the night before or the morning of, hey, can't wait to see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. The team is so excited to meet you. It just helps to refresh them, makes them excited about the opportunity. Again, lets them know that, hey, this person really does want to meet with me. I'm going to absolutely show up for that interview.
So walk me through the mechanics of this. So we place an ad in Indeed. Good ad, great ad. Holly came up with the ad of the century, right? And now we're getting calls. So we know that in dentistry, there are, some people, like you said, that have better verbal skills than others. Do you recommend that, like I say, that do you have the applicants call the office and say, hey, I heard you have a job, right? That's how it works? Or is it done online? Or how do we do this?
Yeah, I actually was just having a conversation with a marketing company, and she goes, oh, whenever anybody applies, an email goes out and it's all automated. Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury in dentistry. What we find is when an applicant applies to your job post, they've probably applied to about six other offices that are desperate to hire. So the next day they are getting bombarded with calls. They have more options than you do when it comes to getting your office staffed. So my recommendation is try to call them as soon as you can, with hopefully within 12 hours of them applying to your job. I always leave an extremely cheerful voicemail if they don't answer. Follow up with a text message saying, hey, I left you a voicemail. Can't wait to talk to you about my job opportunity. If they don't reply by the time 5:30 comes around, I mean, you assume that they're at work, I'll text them again. Just seeing if you got my voicemail and my text from earlier, would love to chat. That's usually the text that will get that response back. And then you have the opportunity to set up a time to talk with that applicant and schedule the interview. We know that 98% of all text messages are read, only 21% of emails are seen, and only 31% of voicemails are listened to. So texting has got to be in your toolkit in order to get these applicants staffed.
And I agree with the voicemail, because I can't tell you how many times, and again, as you get older, you're not there yet, Holly, but as you get older, you'll find that you have less and less patience in life, and you're not going to listen to a 3-minute voicemail. My two boys have made it very clear to me, Dad, when you post on Instagram, don't write War and Peace. And when you leave a message or you text, it's like they don't like a long text, right? People don't have the patience for that, right?
Mm-mm. No, they don't. And it should always, the voicemail should be short and sweet. Hey, this is Holly over at ABC Dental. You applied for my dental assistant job. Can't wait to chat with you about it. You can reach me at blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Okay.
A great day. And then follow up with a text. You applied to my job. Would love to chat. Call me when you have a moment.
What do you recommend, Holly, as far as resources for doctors to determine compensation to offer? I mean, obviously, you know, we want to offer, being in business, we as CPAs say, you know, we want to keep your staff, your team costs down. But in this environment, obviously, the cost of a hygienist today and the cost of an assistant today is different than it was before March of 2020 and the pandemic hit. So how do you recommend that our dentists set the compensation benefits for new employees?
Yes, I get into arguments with my consultants on this all the time, because they're like, oh, hygiene needs to be 30% of production for the hygiene schedule. And unfortunately, with what the cost of having employing a hygienist is nowadays, you're not going to be able to stick with that. The Dental Post and RDH Magazine, they just launched their survey for 2024, their salary survey report.
Right.
And across the board, hygienists, dental assistants, dentists, front office staff, the number one reason they were going to be looking for a new job in 2024 was for better pay. Now, it doesn't mean you need to pay an arm and a leg, but you could get creative on how you pay your team members. You know, offer production bonuses, offer spiffs on any products or additional treatments that the patient needs that they agree to. If they get a review with their name in it, give them a nice little spiff. So there's ways to increase their rate of pay without increasing your overall payroll. You know, the more money that your team's helping you bring into the practice, the more money that you can compensate them for. But we're kind of seeing this shift, especially in hygiene. A lot of my clients that were really stuck on that 30% of hygiene production, they realize that if they bring on, you know, they see more patients per hour to help compensate for the higher rate of pay for the hygienist, they're actually losing on doctor production. So a lot of them are like, okay, I will lose on the hygiene schedule as long as they are excellent co-diagnosing and they get the patients to move forward with treatment with the doctor. So we're seeing doctors start to understand that you get what you pay for. And that is more true than ever when it comes to employing hygienists and dental assistants for your practice.
So at this point, what I want to do, Holly, because again, I work with the best, and Holly, you are the best at what you do. You're just so knowledgeable about all this, and my clients rave about what you do for them. Talk a little bit about what you and your team at Direct Dental do. And then I want you to give out your contact information. Folks, if you are having difficulty finding team members, retaining team members, interviewing team members, You might consider just having a conversation with Holly. And again, you all know who've listened to my podcast for now 5.5 years that I don't get anything if Holly gets a call from one of you. I just get the satisfaction of knowing that you're going to be working with somebody who's really going to help you in this very difficult area. So Holly, talk a little bit about what you do at Direct Dental.
Yes. So, and I do want to say all of your listeners from the last podcast that joined have been some of our best clients. So you have the best listeners in the business.
I have. In fact, there's surveys that it was on the front page of the New York Times a couple of weeks ago. Art Wiederman's podcast has the best listeners ever.
You know,
it was like, what was the movie Step Brothers? One of my favorite movies. Will Ferrell and John O'Hearn, I think his name was, or whatever his name was. And it was like they got together and they were friends. Best day ever. Well, best podcast listeners ever. That's nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just came to my mind. But you're very kind to say. No, I do. I have listeners. They email me all the time. I got an email the other day from someone in the Southeast and one in the Midwest. And I love my listeners, and they come by the booth at CDA sometimes. So you're very kind. So tell us about, it shouldn't all be about me. Tell me about your company and what you do.
Yes. So as I mentioned earlier about finding a service that will get your job across all of the major job boards, that's exactly what we built Direct Dental out to do. So when you come to Direct Dental, you post your job, it's going to get on Indeed, ZipRecruiter, Google Jobs, Monster, Career Builder, Snagajob, up to 100 different sites to get your job out to as many possible applicants that we can, which is really what you need to do in this field. And then we ask for additional staffing services on top of that. So if you want assistance in writing and managing your job or your job post, we will do that for you. If you want someone to call and do that initial screening, I had mentioned earlier, having, you know, someone that's really chipper and happy and really good at sales call these applicants for you, we can actually do that and assist you in scheduling dental assistants and hygienists to come interview with you in your office. We cover every single position, so all the way down from an entry-level front office sterilization tech all the way up to specialist, endodontist, periodontist, and every position in between. We help offices staff form. We are nationwide. We have clients in all 50 states, and we have success in placing in all 50 states.
Well, we have listeners in all 50 states, and I think overseas, last time I looked, it was like 98 countries, unless they're all drones, in which case I have list. But I do know we have listeners in all 50 states. Holly, what is the best way if someone wants to call you to get a hold of you?
Yes. So you can email me directly. Even if you just want me to look at your job posts and offer suggestions, you don't have to be a client of mine to have me help you out. I love doing what I do. But you can email me at Holly, H-O-L-L-I, at directdental.com. Or you can give us a call, 800-799-2644. If you want to talk to any of our staffing consultants, we're available for you. And the first 5 people to email me, I will give you $50 off any service of your choice. So when you call, we'll review what you're looking for, go over our service options, figure out what is best for you and what your hiring needs are, and then you will get $50 off of that service.
And there you go. And folks, I'll tell you, I have very, like I said earlier, many clients who are very, very happy with what Holly and her husband and her team do for the dentists. All right, let's get back and give our listeners some my best listeners ever. Let me give them some more information. How about some? Okay, we get them in there and they take our job. Yay! How do we retain them? Give us some tips, because I'll tell you what, the best day is the first day, but then sometimes it goes downhill. So give our listeners some tips on what they should be doing to make sure that this person stays.
Yes. As we mentioned earlier, having a really solid onboarding plan, that should consist of, them getting some one-on-one time with everybody in your office, them getting to meet with you at least twice a week for their first month. So that way you can give them feedback, they can give you feedback, and then helping them get a buddy, have somebody in place. Again, hopefully your happiest, most chipper employee, make sure that they've made themselves readily available to this new employee. So should that person have any questions and you're not available, they have someone that they can connect with. Long term, my clients that seem to have very little turnover, they make sure that their team members have that camaraderie. You don't tend to leave a job if you're really happy with the people that you work with. So making sure that they have lunch together once a week, or he just buys them lunch once a week to make sure that they're kind of sitting together and enjoying each other's time, or doing quarterly events with each other. So they really get to bond and have moments together instead of it just always being constant work, 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 and not really getting to know and feel comfortable with your employees. And then communication. Another thing that my clients that have really long-term employees, they try to meet with them quarterly. A lot of dentists are like, oh, I don't want to do reviews because then I'm going to feel like they're going to get a raise. If you set this expectation that that's not the case, that just won't be the case. So, but doing quarterly reviews so you can review what's working well, what's not, they can give you feedback and they're comfortable giving you feedback on your management and leadership skills. That's really going to make sure that your employees are going to stay with you long-term.
And I want to, you know, make a comment on top of that, Holly. I was an employer for 33 years. My three key employees who I mentioned, Pam, Debbie, and Raquel, they all worked for me for over 30 years. Pam Paint became my partner. Two of my other employees worked for me for 15 years. And I mean, at the end of the day, doctors, what you need to do is you need to show your employees respect. Catch them doing something right. Don't catch them doing something wrong. If they do something wrong, you don't yell at them. You don't say, you screwed that up. You made that patient mad. No, no. You just say, hey, Holly, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of share something with you that happened with Mrs. Smith, and maybe we can work on this a little. People want to be treated with respect, and that's what they want. And if you treat them with respect and you understand that they have lives too. We had, I tell a story, Holly, about one of my tax preparers, who was one of the ones that worked for me for, I think, 17 years, and just most wonderful, wonderful lady. And she, her family lived overseas, and she got a call on March 15th, which is right in the dead of tax season. And it's like, my mom is dying, and they, again, they're afraid to go to the boss, so they talked to everybody, and Pam, my partner, came into me and said, our team member, and what do you think? And she's got to go back. And I said, you know what? I said, let me get the team together. And I said, guys, can you get this work done without her? And they all said, absolutely. I said, go take care of your family. That's the type, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying, you got to take care of people. And if you take care of people, Holly, they'll take care of you, right?
Absolutely. I love that story. And we see that in dentistry. I know. And I feel like that's a reason a lot of people get burnt out really quickly, because in dentistry, it's, especially these smaller practices, your job is so critical that when you do need time off unexpected, that there's a lot of eye rolling, a lot of, oh, this is causing us stress, instead of just this understanding that you got to do what you got to do and we'll make it work without you. And I feel like that's a lot of reasons why dental assistants hygienists have been leaving the field, is they just don't get that, I have to take a week off to take care of my family, and they don't get the understanding and support that they need at those times.
Talk a little bit, Holly, about, so we talked a little bit about social media. How do you get a little more into, what do you do with social media in your work?
I love social media. You've got the job boards, but the people that are on the job boards are people that are looking for work. Some of the best placements I have is someone that was like, I was not looking for a job, but I saw your post on, said Facebook group, and I read it, and I have to work for this office now. So if you write up a really phenomenal post, you want to market it to anywhere that you possibly can. And social media, we know people are on social media all the time. So my two favorite ways to utilize social media is go on LinkedIn. I'll search dental hygienist San Diego, and all of the dental hygienists that are on LinkedIn are there. I'll request to friend them with a little message. Hey, I've got this amazing hygiene job in your area. Please take a look. Let me know if you're interested. Send that little message off. Costs you nothing but some time. And then I'll go into Facebook and I'll say, you know, dental group San Diego, and then all the dental groups in San Diego will pop up. You just go ahead and post your job in those with some great information about your practice. And again, it's people that aren't on the job boards, but they're going to see that post. And if your post is good enough, they're going to want to work for you and then apply to your job.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, the more you can get this out. And by the way, folks, if you have a website that's old and dingy, I'm telling you, these people who are looking for dental for positions, they're checking you out. They're looking at social media. What kind of social media are you posting? Are you posting stupid stuff, or are you posting about how we take world-class care of our patients? And what is your website? Are there video testimonials? I mean, you know, someone who's going to take a job, that's a big deal, and they want to work for a winning team. They absolutely do. All right. And again, we talked about, you know, somebody calls the office and they're interested in the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some, let's just role play here for a second. All right. I call and you answer the phone. Hi, Dr. Perez's office, right? And I'm going to say, hi, this is Art. And I saw your job post on Indeed. Can you tell me a little bit about it? I'm kind of interested. And what would you say? What's the first words out of your mouth?
Art, I'm so happy that you called. Would love to talk and get you some more information about this. And then it's going to depend. Like maybe the person that answered the phone doesn't know. So I'm going to break up our little role play real quick.
Sure.
The big thing is when you are hiring, you need to let your entire team know that you are hiring, and you need to let them know what the steps are. So that way, if it is Ruby, who's the receptionist, and she doesn't know much about the job, then Ruby knows to say, I'm so excited you called. Kimberly, our office manager, is going to love to chat with you. Can I place you on a brief hold so I can go get her real quick? And then Kimberly, from there, she's going to obviously, hey, Art, I'm so happy that you called. Since I don't have your resume in front of me, can you give me a little bit of information about your background and what you're looking for in your next role? And then talk about the location, make sure that works, talk about the hours, make sure that works. And then if everything checks out, hey, Art, I want you to come in and meet my doctor, meet my team. How does next Wednesday at 12 o'clock or Thursday at 3 o'clock, which works better?
Well, and the employees that are applying for jobs, Holly, they can also tell from a tone of voice. It's like if we do this role play again and go, yeah, we're looking for somebody. We've had a lot of turnover in our office and we need it. When you tell an employee that, that's the kiss of death, right?
I'm plugging my ears.
I know. I can see.
So
when we record these podcasts, it's on Microsoft Teams and I can see Holly and she can see me and I can see her covering her ears. Yes.
Yes. You do not want to mention turnover. And even, you know, turnover happens. It's happening everywhere. There's nothing you can do about it. But don't mention that people that come into your office are leaving right away. It always needs to be upbeat. I'm excited to meet with you. My doctor's excited to meet with you. Find out what they're looking for. Why are you on the job market? What are you looking for in your next role? And if you can offer that, really sell it up. Like, hey, I need Fridays off. Perfect. We're a Monday through Thursday practice. This is going to be a great job for you. Can't wait to meet you. And I always say smile and dial. My recruiters are phenomenal at it. They always sound like they have a smile on your face because people can hear it. They can hear if you're smiling or not. So when you do call on applicants, make sure you're in a really good headspace. Listen to, you know, some jokes online or your favorite song, whatever puts you in the right mindset, and then make those calls because they're going to hear it on the other end if you're in a good mood or not.
Well, I tell you another thing that I do with people, and I've taught this to my wife and my kids and my friends and my clients. Whenever I call somebody, I will say, hi, Holly, this is Art Wiederman. How are you today? I start off with that. When you start with that, Okay. And I'm not I don't have a master's in how to talk to people, but I'm pretty good at it. I find that people are immediately at ease as opposed to, oh, hi, Holly, this is Art Wiederman, and I'm really pissed at your company. Yeah. I mean, yeah, right. Something like that. Right. So, okay. So, applicant calls the office and we talked about what they should say. So they come into the office. How many people do you like having to talk to the applicant? I always had at least one of my 30-year employees do it, and usually two or three people, not too many, but what do you like to do? How do you like to orchestrate the actual interview?
Sure. So in a perfect world, they definitely need to get some one-on-one time with the dentist. We know that that can be challenging, but my favorite interview process is the office manager starts off, gets them in a quiet space where they can get comfortable, offers them, coffee or a beverage of some sort. She can do her interview, get to know the person. The doctor comes in. He can also it needs to be, friendly, fun, light. There's some information that you want to get from the applicant, and that's, why you're looking for a new role. Kind of review their resume, why they left all of their previous jobs, especially if they've got 3 or 4 jobs over the course of 10 years. You want to understand what their reasoning was for leaving those. And then if the interview goes well and you feel comfortable and you're going to schedule that working interview, take them immediately on a tour of the practice, introduce them to all of the team members, let the team members know, hey, this is Art. He's going to be in for an interview with us on Thursday for a working interview. We're real excited. This is Debbie. She's our lead dental assistant. You'll get a lot of time to work with her on Thursday of next week. So that way they get to meet everybody, get a feel for the office, and then that'll help with any nerves they have leading into their working interview, and get them to show up for that working interview.
And obviously the doctor's going to meet that applicant too, right?
Yes. The doctor definitely wants to come in and spend some time with the applicant.
Yeah. Now doctors, I'm going to throw out some tips, and Holly, you give me your opinion. Sure. If I'm the doctor and I'm talking to an applicant, a couple things that I like. I like a firm handshake, and I like you looking me in the eye. And that's something I look for somebody. Now, I used to ask an interesting question, which you may not agree with, Holly, but I used to ask, are you bright? Because the first CPA or a public accountant that I worked for, Larry Shipley, I've mentioned his name. He was kind of my mentor when I was a teenager and encouraged me to get into the accounting profession. He asked me, that was the first question he asked me, is, are you bright? And I guess if you think about it, if you have to think about that, then maybe you're not so bright. But I don't know if you want to do that in this environment today. But I think, Holly, that you want to talk about the philosophy of your practice, the fact that everything that we do in this office is for our patients' total health, regardless of whether we're going to get paid for it or not, things like that. So what should a doctor, because again, it's great to talk to the team, but it's the doctor you're working for. And that's the person, he or she is the one that you're going to decide, do I want to really come to work here or not, right? What should the doctor be saying to these folks?
Yeah, I mean, the doctor definitely should lay out the philosophy. The doctor should talk about the success of the practice. So again, we've got generations of families, or my longest employee has been with me for over 10 years. This is what I do for my employees, and why I want somebody that can do X, Y, Z to be a part of my team. My favorite question that I do think all doctors should be asking, especially dental assistants, but anybody that's running the office, is, what is your favorite procedure to assist with, and how do you do it? From that question.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Because you see instantly, does their face light up? Do they get excited when they start talking about a certain procedure? When they start listing off how to do the procedure, are they talking about, I get the patient comfortable, I explain X, Y, Z to the patient, I make sure that these tools are ready. If they get excited, if their face lights up when they start answering this question for you, kind of equivalent to, are you bright? You'll have a really good understanding of where their passions lie, and if they're going to give you and your patients the care and the care that your practice needs in order to succeed.
So let's put a bow on this with the last question, is, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see doctors making in this whole process?
So their job posts, just being a list of duties. I get calls all the time because a big part of ours is, you know, about 70% of our clients just use the website on their own and they post all their own jobs, and they'll call and say, hey, I'm not getting any applicants. I'm seeing it on the job boards, but I'm not getting any applicants. And I'll look and it'll be, you know, we're hiring a dental assistant, and it lists all the duties, and there's no benefits. There's no what's great about the practice included. So when they have just a terrible job advertisement, they're not going to get applicants, especially when they don't research the pay rate in their area. If you have a great job post, but your job is offering $5 less than every other practice within a 10-mile radius, they're not going to apply to you because they're going to be applying to the jobs with a higher pay rate. And then, like just how we just had a conversation about this, is you can't treat employees like they're employees anymore. They're going to be spending a third of their life with you. They want to feel respected and valued and needed and rewarded when they're doing something good. So gone are the days where I give you a paycheck, so be happy with that. It's not like that anymore. They have too many options available to you, to them. And if you don't recognize that, you're going to be really hurting for employees for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, this last, you know, 50 minutes or so that I've been talking to Holly is pretty much a textbook of how to hire. And this is the biggest challenge in dentistry. And by the way, doctors, when you're talking about hiring and you're talking, we talked earlier about what to pay these folks. Oh, I can't pay them more than $30 an hour, whatever it is. Well, at the end of the day, and this is my, me being the annoying big brother here, okay? My little brother, Michael, always says, you were always the annoying big brother. I said, yes, I was, and I will continue to be so. So the annoying big brother is saying, okay, doctors, if you are contracted with PPO plans that are paying you 60% of UCR, yeah, you can't afford to pay people market rate. And that's why, and we've had podcasts on this, that's two of my big themes when I get to the management part of what we talk about, is hiring and retaining employees and PPOs. So this is another reason. If you have a fee-for-service practice or a practice that is going towards fee-for-service and you have higher fees and you have the type of patients you want, it's going to be easier to pay that extra $2 or $3 or $5 an hour, right, Holly?
Absolutely, yes. All of my fee-for-service practices, they don't even balk when I tell them what the pay rate should be in their area. They just say, okay, that's it.
I love it. All right, one last time, Holly, give out your contact information, and you had, again, maybe some people came on late. You have an offer for our listeners.
Yes. So my email address is Holly, H-O-L-L-I, at directdental.com. First five people to email me saying that they heard me on this podcast, I will give you $50 off any of the services that you choose to move forward with. Again, we'll have a nice little conversation about your needs and figure out what the best plan of action is for you. You can also give us a call at 800-799-2644. Again, 1-800-799-2644. And if you don't feel like you made it within to be one of the first five emails, but you still want to see what our services are all about, just head to www.directdental.com.
Holly Perez, you are golden. I always love talking to you. I always learn stuff when I listen to you. Please hang out for a little bit as I take the podcast out. Folks, again, this is a call to action. This is my podcast is a call to action. Hopefully, you're getting some good information from all of our guests. Again, if you are looking for a dental CPA and you are not happy what you're doing, you're looking for someone to help you with your financial planning, wealth management, the market's gone up over the last several years and your account stays stagnant and your investment advisor never talks to you, please reach out to me, 657-279-3243 or A. Wiederman, W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at idbailey.com. Make sure you go to Decisions in Dentistry magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. Incredible clinical content. The top clinicians in the world write for this magazine. And I know that because when I try and read the articles, I stop at the five syllable words, but they're fantastic articles. And they have 140 CE courses, including my video courses on financial planning and retirement plans and metrics, www.decisionsindentistry.com. I am also a member of the Academy of Dental CPAs, 25 CPA firms that represent over 11,000 dentists. See, I'm going to be 65. I'm becoming senile. www.adcpa.org. And with that, Holly Perez, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. With that, folks, we will call it a wrap on this edition of The Art of Dental Finance and Management with Art Wiederman, CPA. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Please subscribe to it, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's awiederman at edebailly.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.